Our text this morning is the book of Philippians chapter 2, and we'll begin in verse 15. Philippians chapter 2, verse 15. Philippians chapter 2, verse 15 reads this way. It says, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne. Lord, we thank you again for the privilege of being able to assemble here in your house as your church. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege of prayer that we can ask, as you've called us to, for the power and the guidance of the Holy Spirit to lead our hearts and minds, and especially in worship, that we might worship you in truth and spirit, and that you might glorify yourself in and through the life of every believer, and then convict, Lord, those that do not know you as Savior to might see their need of salvation and also enjoy the free pardon of sin that you've given to us. Bless the service this morning, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is in our text there in verse 15, shine as lights in the world, specifically that ye may shine as lights in the world. And so the Word of God reveals God's will for everybody, the lost and the saved. And that is that the first thing that is required is for us to realize we've wronged the Lord and that He completely provided eternal life for us. All we have to do is look to the righteousness of God and place our faith in His righteousness, and we have eternal life. Now, you won't get that if you ask the world. If you ask the world, what does it take to get to heaven? And it's amazing, really. They know this. Oh, listen, I've got bad and I've got good. Isn't that amazing? They know that. But they make a mistake. See, when we lean on the flesh or on human rationalization, we're going to fall way short because God's thinking is not our thinking. God's ways are not our ways. It's amazing. I watch these people that they say, "Oh no, I don't believe in God. I reject God," and they profess and proclaim their animosity towards God. How can God ask so much of me, and how can he weigh out? Why does he have to judge me? And then you ask him, "Well, where's Hitler today?" And right away, in hell. and you got to scratch your head and say, "Well, he was such a vile and wicked individual," and he was. But you know what? Our sins are against God, and God is a righteous God and cannot allow unrighteousness in his presence. But because of the love of God, the grace of God, he gave us his Son. Amen. That his righteousness would cover our sins. How many of them? Half? All of them. That his righteousness would cover all of our sins. The ones in the past, the ones in the present, and the ones in the future. All of them. And for people to believe that you can lose your salvation, they don't believe in God for their present or for their future. They're not trusting in the Lord. Now, for those of us who completely trust in the Lord, we've been forgiven and also indwelt with his Holy Spirit. And listen, the child of God ought to grieve. It is possible, and it does happen, that the child of God will sin against God, but the Holy Spirit should convict us as a saved child of God. That's not the way God wants us to walk, and it ought to grieve us. We ought to just not walk, "Well, listen, now I've got a license to sin." That's not what it means to the life of a real converted believer. They don't use that as their escape clause, all right? And there is no escape or loopholes, as W.C. Fields and probably this generation would know who he is. I barely know who he is, but that one day, because he was a devout atheist and just a very, very filthy man, he was flipping through the Bible and while he was in the hospital, and one of his friends walked in and said, "What are you doing reading the Bible?" They were shocked, and here was his reply: "Looking for loopholes." There are no loopholes, but there is a Savior, amen? And he makes the difference in our lives. So this morning, God wants us to realize this, that he has given us eternal life through his Son. And how did we get saved? By putting our faith or trust, that's the same thing, I put my trust and my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let me ask you this, how are we to shine the light of God? How is the righteousness of God to live out through your life and mine as a believer? The same way, trusting in his work. And we'll see that here this morning. That is so important. This is what where the believer is liberated. The lost person is saved. And listen, is there rejoicing in salvation when somebody gets saved? Amen. Why do you say that? Because you rejoiced when you got saved. You were set free and you had something to praise about. And you could say this: "I had nothing to do with it." So if I had nothing to do with it, guess what? I've got nothing to do with it. Amen. God gave it to me as a gift and he doesn't take it back. He holds me in his hand and no man can take me out. Isn't that good? There's rest in that. There's peace in that. There's joy and rejoicing in that. But now we got to serve the Lord. Uh-oh. Now we've got to be holy because he's holy. Now we're to be righteous because he's righteous. And all of a sudden, we just pick up. Listen, we, every believer, follow the disciples who walked with the Lord Jesus Christ. We pick up a weight God never intended us to pick up. We've got this natural mind and the new spirit, amen. And our spirit has been quickened, and that's why you'll see when John the Revelator in the book of Revelation said, "I was in the spirit." It's a lowercase s. You know what that means? He was not in the flesh. He was in the spirit, and that's the only way that we communicate with the Holy Spirit that indwells the believer. Hear me very carefully, because that is what's causing the believer today to miss out on the excitement in their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, they're saved and they have eternal life, but they're missing out on what God, the work that God wants to do in your life and mine, hear me clearly, to shine his light through our life. That's what he wants to do. That was the purpose. Listen, it was the glory of God in your life and mine was the whole purpose. Salvation, absolutely, but that God might glorify himself in and through your life by his power, not ours. And I want to tell you, that is a hard concept to understand. You know how I know that? Because the Bible is littered with that truth so that you and I won't miss it. And you'll see that here even this morning. And by the way, listen, on a side note here, a note to the believer, unbelief in God's word is also sin to the believer. Did you know that? Hold your place right here. And this is important. I want you to see this just for a moment. Hold your place right here in Philippians. We're going to come back. That's our text. Go over to the book of Luke. The Gospel of Luke chapter 5, just for a moment. You can read the story later, but we're not going to go all the way through it here. But this is the place where the Lord goes into Peter's boat, asks him to thrust out a little bit. He's going to preach a message. He preached a message. And if you remember, Peter was on the side of the shore. He was washing his nets. He was done. He didn't catch anything. And he knew everything there was to know about fishing because that's what he did. But there's one thing he didn't count on, and that is that God is the commander in chief of all creation. And so here it is. He's in there and he asked Peter, okay, now let's cast out. I want you to go out into the deep and you're going to have a draft of fishes. You're going to catch such a big load of fishes. And you know what happened? He said, oh, Lord, he said, listen, we fished all night and we have taken not just a little. We have taken nothing. The fish aren't biting today. That's what he said. And he says, hey, listen, I want you to let down your nets, plural, for a big catch. And he gives them this story here because he didn't put faith. What was he doing? Was he leaning on God's wisdom or his own understanding and experience? That will shipwreck us every time. That will ground us and cause us to miss out. But I want you to see this little grain of mustard seed faith that he put out there, and God blessed it. Now watch this. So he says in verse 5, he says, Simon answered, said unto him, Master, we've toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. That's one. Now what happens here? And when he had done this, that's faith. That's him fighting his own wisdom and knowledge and obeying the Lord. And when he had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net brake. And now you know what? Listen, what would a pessimist do? Huh? Lord, you broke my net. Well, what was the net for in the first place? To catch fish, right? All right. So the net broke, and then they beckoned unto their partners in verse 7 that were in the other ship that they would come and help them, and they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. Isn't that something? He didn't give complete obedience, but he couldn't have caught any more fish. That's God's mercy and grace. Now watch this. He was astonished. And verse 8, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying unto him, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. What was his sin? What was his sin? Unbelief. And he recognized it, and he called it. That's important, because there is no working of God until we repent and turn towards him. And by the way, he was already saved. He was already saved. And if you'll read the word of God from that angle, you will see that the Lord has a lot to say to you and I who know him as Savior. Back to our text in the book of Philippians. I want to look at three truths this morning that are needed if we are to shine God's light in the world. Three truths this morning, and that is that we need to allow or give permission for the fellowship of the Spirit. Secondly, we are to allow or give permission for the mind of Christ to be in you. I would wonder that the believer might even say, some believers might say, oh, the mind of Christ can't be in me. Is the Holy Spirit in you? Yeah. Well, then that's the avenue for the mind of Christ as well to be in each and every believer. And then the last thought is to understand what it means to work out your own salvation. So the first thought, go back with me to verse 1 in Philippians chapter 2. Notice what it says here. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, that's to the believer, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, if there's going to be any of this, God is telling us the direction. And by the way, we have to allow it and we have to ask for it. Listen, that's an expression of faith. Question this morning, do you need the power of God in your life? Amen. Amen? All right. Do you need the power of God in your life if God is to shine His light in your life? All right, here's another question. Do you want the power of God? That's the difference. That's the difference. Listen, do you want the power of God? Then you have to say, I can't lean to my understanding, and I have to exercise faith. Remember Peter out there? Oh, listen, Lord, we fished all night. I hear what you're saying, Lord, but I know better. Ain't going to happen. I don't want to wash all my nets, Lord. I don't want to go through all that. I'm going to chuck one out there. And he was astonished. And his partners with him. Because why were they astonished? Because naturally that would have never happened. Question, what was the difference in their catch that night? The Lord. What will be the difference in your life that will enable the light of God to shine through your life and mine? The Lord. See, it's a work of God or it won't happen. And oftentimes, listen, we as believers, we think, well, listen, I got to roll up my sleeves and I got to get busy for God. That is exactly what God does not want us to do. Listen, the things that a believer has to do for the glory of God. Oh, I tell you, listen, there'd be a bunch of people lining up ready to write it down. When God's saying, nope, I want you to rest in me. And I want to bear my fruit in you. I don't want you to bear your fruit. Because if you sit there at gentleness and kindness and long-suffering, and if you bear that kind of fruit by your strength, well, I tell you, your chest will get 3 inches bigger. And you'll have a bruised shoulder, patting yourself on the back about how great you are. And God will be obscured in your life. God will not share His glory with anyone, not even the believer. And that's a truth. And that is a hard concept to enter into the brain and soul of a believer. I know because I'm guilty of it, and Peter was guilty of it too. Every disciple dealt with that. Lord, grant that my two sons, one on your right and one on your left. Well, my goodness. No, that's my Father's to give. Lord, don't all forsake you. Hold on, you ready for this one? Not me. What was Peter counting on when he said he would not fail the Lord? Was he counting on God? What did God tell him? Tonight. Three times. Do you want to know why believers aren't excited about their relationship with the Lord? Brother George, how can you say that today in 2021? Look at the failure. Look at what the churches are going to today. And looking, are they looking to the Lord? Because if they were, sin would not be rampant like it's going today. We would not have the confusion and the things that are confounding the world today. It's because God's people that are called by His name are not experiencing the work of God in their life. Saved? Absolutely. But no power. The Lord told John the Revelator to the churches, strengthen the things that remain which are ready to die. Listen, that's a picture of the end time churches. And so listen, we have to be willing to say, Lord, I want your work to take place in my life. Ready? So the first thing, allow or give permission. That, by the way, God will not infiltrate your life. He won't. if you call on him and tell him that you need these things, he's telling us, hey, listen, this is my will for your life. This is my will for your life. That, listen, God wants us to be gentle, kind, long-suffering, all the things that you and I cannot do. And when we fess that up before the Lord and say, I need you, God, he says, oh, you're going to call me? I'm ready. If you call on me, I will answer thee, and I will show thee great and mighty things that you don't know about. Is that true still today? All right. So, verse 1, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, does God want us to have fellowship in the Spirit? And that is capitalized, that is the Holy Spirit. If any bowels of mercy, fulfill ye my joy. Whose joy? Don't try to do it in your own strength. You remember I told you about one of my bosses years ago. I won't mention his name. I don't think you'd know him anyway. But, he was always in a foul mood. So he went to St. Louis, some seminar, spent $400 or $500 on these pills. Health pills. Be careful what you buy. All right? If they're telling you this is going to happen to you, you might want to ask somebody who's already been there and see if it really works, all right? Going to make you happy. Going to make, do everything inside your body to make you happy. So for about 3 days, he walked around like this and was telling people, you see a difference in me? You see a difference in me? Yeah, you're scaring me. And then I just called them happy pills. They were some kind of herb type thing or what have you. $500, $400 or $500. Whatever it was, I thought it was a little bit too much. No, it was a lot. And at the end of the week, he was his old self again. That's the lie of the devil. Every time. And people caught up in that have the best of intentions, no doubt in my mind. But God says, fulfill ye. Why did he say my joy? So that we know where it's coming from. That ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. And that is the mind of Christ. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. It's not telling you to neglect what you need in your life, but also on the lives of other people. That requires humility. That requires selfishness to be dealt with. That is God's work that we can't do. So what is God asking? Allow this. Let this mind be in you. Be like-minded. Allow this. Listen, verse 3, let nothing be done. In other words, give allowance. When you let something happen, you're giving permission. You're allowing it. It's as simple as that. God, I want to let you have your will in my life. In my life. We pray for revival, and I'm afraid sometimes we're thinking we're praying for the preacher to get revival. Or some other church. God, give us revival. We need to see lives changed in a powerful way. Just not here. Somewhere, let's watch it somewhere else. It has to happen with me. All right? The second thing is we need to allow or give permission for the mind of Christ to be in you. Verse 5, let this mind be in you. Remember, let this mind be in you. And he's speaking to believers, which was also in Christ Jesus. Isn't that amazing? So it's not our mind, it's Christ's mind. Who being in the form of God, by the way, if you ever want to know who Jesus is, many places, but here it stands out, who being in the form of God, that means the pressed out image. When you see Jesus, you see him. Didn't Jesus tell the disciples that in John 14? Amen. When you've seen me, guess who else you've seen? You've seen the Father. And Jesus, our example, and here's what goofs a lot of false religions. Oh, we'll see. Jesus said that the Father is greater. How can they be equal? Well, it says right here that they're equal, but Jesus was our example, lived as our example, and he said, I don't do anything except I see the Father doing it. That's your example and mine. Not that he was not equal, because notice this, verse 6, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be what? Equal with God, same position, same authority. but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. We need to die to the flesh. And we can't do it in our own strength. Okay, I'm going to die. Okay, I'm going to die. I'm going to die to self. I'm going to die to self. No, you're not. No, you're not. You won't do it. For however long you want to count it for. 10 minutes maybe? An hour? Really? Until the next thing crosses your path that ruffles your feathers, lo and behold, you never died. You can only die if God is working in your life. So you know what happens? The believer gets frustrated. Why can't I do this? Because God never intended you to. Because it's God's work, not yours. All right, so here we go. Look with me, verse 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Listen, that's what it means to have the mind of Christ. And to allow God and ask God and expect God and have the faith that God is going to bring in a great catch of fish. But here's what happens, oh Lord. We're funny, right? Peter said in one breath, you're not going to catch any fish, Lord. Didn't he? He confessed his sin. We're not going to catch any fish. I know what I'm talking about. It's just not going to happen. No faith in God. And then in the next breath, he says, oh, everybody else is going to forsake you, but not me. I mean, boy, oh, boy. Peter, where's your faith? Not in the Lord. We will fail every time we do something without God concerning spiritual things. And so notice what the Lord says here in verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed. Now, these are the believers at Philippi. And they're experiencing the glory and grace of God. And Paul, by the Holy Spirit, is fanning the flames. When that fire gets started, the whole world got flipped upside down. That's another good indicator for the cause of Christ that we're not seeing the Spirit of God and the work of God taking place in the life of the believer, or the whole world would be flipped upside down for the glory of God. And right away, we defeat ourselves. Well, I can't do that. Well, join the club. We can't do it. But God wants to do it. And here's the wonderful thing through your life and mine. So watch this. Verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. So you know what? Listen, it wasn't this idea, I'm coming to church. You're not going to recognize me from the rest of the week because I'm coming to church. Not just because we're at church, but because the Lord Jesus Christ is real and we care about him in our life every day and every moment of every day. So we're not going to be one way in the presence of the Apostle Paul or in the presence of other believers, but in his absence as well. Why? Because we're not looking to put on airs and to make people think something. We know that God sees everything and we want to be real with him. So he says, wherefore, my beloved, verse 12, as you've always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Why? Because Jesus Christ was real to them. Paul introduced them to the Lord and salvation and the Holy Spirit. And man, their walk with the Lord was what was encouraging them, what was exciting them. They didn't need to have a pep rally and they didn't need to have somebody to tell them this is where life was at. They were experiencing it. They were enjoying it. They were hungering and thirsting after it. Now ready? Watch this. Not only in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, he says this, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, the last thought is, We have to understand what it means to work out your own salvation. And the way to understand that is in the Word of God, because right away we would say, oh, look, Brother George, right there. I got to work it out. Really? Well, listen, let's keep everything in context. Verse 13, for it is who? Oh, okay, that's three of us. For it is who? For it is God, which what? Worketh in who? In us, in you. Both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Who's working? So you know what? Listen, the key is to say, God, do your work in me. I understand it's your work. So by faith, I'm going to get it in my brain that it's a hard truth to get in there, that it's not me, it's not my strength. Does God ever anywhere in the Bible tell you by your strength or by his strength, saith the Lord? Victory is by whose power and whose strength? Not ours. Do you see how we miss that? You can preach this truth and people not even make it out of the doors and say, oh, I'm going to try harder. Listen, I say that because we missed it, but I want you to know I understand it. I understand it because I'm sure the Lord probably did that to me many times. Oh, he missed it. He was so close. And he's trying harder for me. Bless his heart. He's trying harder for me instead of letting me do it. What's required? The first thing that we need is obedience. Verse 12, he says, notice, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed. May I tell you, not one of these believers at Philippi said, yeah, I'm obedient. You know what they would tell you? Oh, by the grace of God, or I'll fail him. Peter thought he'd obey him. Lord, if it's you, bid me to come. How quick he got his eyes off the Lord and started to sink. Man, listen, you know why? Maybe Peter, well, we know what he did. He got to liking that, and that was good. He forgot he was in a storm. And somehow he had his eyes on the Lord, and something over here on one side or the other distracted him, and he just, maybe just a little bit, started looking at the storm. And we start to look at ourselves and what's happening around us, and we take our eyes off of God, and we start to sink. Obedience. And then we have to allow and understand that it's God's work in us when it means to work out your own salvation. We saw that in verse 13. And now watch this, keeping this thought in mind, look at verse 14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Come on now. We can look as sanctimonious, you could believe whatever you want to believe, but I'll be the first one to tell you, I can't do that. I can do it for a little while, not too long. You keep throwing enough stuff in my face that is not to my liking, I'm going to start murmuring. But by the grace of God, he can help me keep my heart and mind stayed on him, that I'm a child of the King. God holds me in his hands. I can't do that without him. He is going to work this out for my good, and then I can have joy. Listen, if anybody had cause to complain, Joseph did when his brother sold him. And yet he flourished. Why? Because his eyes were on God. How was he able to defeat the temptation of Potiphar's wife? His eyes were on the Lord. How was he able to shine the light of God in the prison cell? Where were his eyes? They weren't on himself. Where are our eyes? Oh. And here's the truth. Ready? God, I need you to keep my eyes off of me. Because I want to look to me. Oh, woe is me. Right? That's what we think about. That's our natural tendency, me. All right, verse 14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, that's the children of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom ye shine as lights in the world. That's amongst the lost. But wait a minute, that's amongst God's people too. Do you know, listen, when you are shining the light of God, that is the influence of the Holy Spirit. When we're all in one accord, in one mind, thinking the same thing, and seeking, and that is the glory of God, that, listen, the presence of God is in our midst because He indwells the believer, and He is showing Himself. Listen, we're not looking to prove anything but that God might glorify Himself in your life and mine. Amen. And then the last thing, notice verse 16. Remember, shining that ye might shine as lights in the world. And that's God's light. Holding, how do we do this? Holding forth the word of life. Faith comes by the word of God. And by the way, not just, but understanding, hearing it. Hearing it means understanding it and what it means. Do you remember when the Heavenly Father said about the Lord, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased"? What did people say? Man, is it going to rain today? Sound like lightning to me. They didn't all hear the voice of God. Oh, they heard something though. They heard something. Do you remember when Paul was on the road to Damascus and he had people with him? They heard a noise. The word, when they said voice, is phonia. The Greek word phonia, which we get the word telephone from. They heard it ringing. But they didn't hear the conversation. They heard a noise, the Bible says. They didn't hear the voice of God. And I'm afraid, God's people, if we're not careful, that's all we're hearing too. We're not hearing the voice of God. We're here. God wants us to hear Him. Holding forth the word of life, that I might rejoice when? In the day of Christ. Holding it forth now, that when we stand before the Lord, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. And by the way, these Philippian believers, they're excited. He says, I know that you're obeying. But by the way, listen, why is God, through the Holy Spirit, listen carefully and we're going to be done. Why is God giving this message to the Philippian believers who are being faithful to God? Why is He giving? Well, first of all, because it's going to go throughout all the ages. But really, another just as important reason is God knows the human heart. And we are prone to wander. And the first place we naturally look to, you ever see two, 3 or 4 year olds just learning to talk, playing together? And one wants to take ownership of a toy? What's the first thing they say? Mine. Imagine that. That is the heart of mankind without God. That's why there's wars. That's why there's discord and upheaval. People don't really believe that everybody just let live and let live. People don't really believe that. Our society, especially today, thinks it's owed something. That is the epitome of pride. I don't deserve anything. In fact, really, it's frightening to think about what I really do deserve. And that is God's condemnation. And yet God has given to the believer His blessing. And He said this, if you'll call on Me and ask Me to work out My salvation in your life, I will show you some things that'll awe you. This morning, God gives an invitation to the lost person to trust Him as Savior, and to the believer that He might work His will and power in and through our lives for His honor and glory. And you know what that does for us? What a God. Ready? The Israelites approaching the ocean, the sea. And what did they do? Oh my goodness, did you see what's happening? The Egyptians are behind us. The water's over there. And Moses says, stand back. Right? and see the salvation of the Lord. And what happens? What happens? The water parts. Let me remind you, newsflash. That was the first time Moses saw it too. We're not, listen, what do you think Moses was doing when he was watching that? Oh, what a God. What a God. Listen, I promise you, Moses was in the midst of worshiping the salvation of the Lord. It didn't end there. They get all the way through. And he looks back and the enemies of God are on their trail. And what does God do? Covers them. And what do you think Moses is doing and all the people? It never gets old, guys. The blessings of God, that's why Paul said, oh, for me to live is Christ. And all the things that I did for myself, I put those in the dung heap because I want to see what God wants to do in my life. How about you and I this morning? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word and your wisdom. And Lord, I pray that you would do your work in our hearts and minds even this morning and realize that you give us an invitation to call upon you, that you might work your will in our life for your honor and glory, and Lord, for our blessing, that it would draw our hearts to you and to one another, and that we might truly shine your light in this dark and dying world that so desperately needs your salvation and your love. But it can't take place, Lord, unless we are the recipients of that first, that we might distribute what you've given to us to a lost and dying world. Bless the invitation. Lord, if there's one or more than one in our midst that knows you not as Savior, I pray that you would help them to see that need. And then, Lord, for those of us who know you as Savior, are you working in our lives? Bless the invitation, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.